Welcome to the Slapshot Scotland podcast. I'm Craig Anderson and we're into part two of our exclusive interview with former Edinburgh Capitals and Nottingham Panthers D-man Joe Grimaldi. Arguably one of the more controversial figures the British game has ever seen, Grimaldi was given an 18-game ban for accumulative offences against Panthers Max Perron in a game between the two teams back in January 15, 2015 that saw him sacked by Edinburgh. In part one, Grimaldi reflected on the incident, the aftermath and his sacking from the Capitals. Now in part two, Joe looks back on his time in the UK, addresses the reputation he appears to have and what his future plans are. Now, Joe, we spoke at length about the incident that saw your departure from the UK a second time, but we'll reflect on your time in the UK as a whole. Now, before that incident with Max Perron, you'd been at Edinburgh since the start of last season. Between the start and when your time ended, did you enjoy your time there?
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time in Edinburgh. It's a very beautiful city and has a lot of culture and history, and I loved it. I mean, everybody treated me really well. I made some friends. It was a great time.
Now, of course, there was the time at Nottingham Panthers as well. You only lasted the seven games, ended in a little bit of acrimony. But between your time at the Panthers and Edinburgh Capitals, controversy seemed to surround you. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, I think, like I said, I don't like to put... I'm not going to put blame on, you know, on anybody, but, you know, I tend to speak up when I don't like something. I tend to speak up if I think somebody's not treating me right or something's going on. I'm not that guy that's going to sit in the corner and be quiet and take everybody's crap. And I think sometimes that can rub people, you know, the wrong way. And, you know, I always believe in saying what I feel, you know, when I feel it. And I'm kind of an open book like that. I don't have anything to hide. But, you know, I think it comes back I think it was just time, you know, to step away from the game. I think there was a lot of telltale signs that I was feeling in my body, in my mind, the things that were surrounding me that were saying, like, you know, Joe, you got to get out of this. You got to move on. You got to get out of this. You know, before you get hurt, before something bad happens, you know, how are you going to keep pushing the envelope? Are you going to keep pushing it? You know, and when that does that, you know, it affects how you see things and, you know, probably your play and, you know, how you react to situations, you know. So I think it was just about the timing of what was going on in my life and, you know, having to deal. And you know what? I came across a couple people that I didn't really care for that much, you know, that didn't really treat me with the respect that I felt was deserved. And if someone doesn't treat me with respect, I don't feel like I need to give them respect. So it's a two-way street. I was always taught that. It's definitely a two-way street when it comes to certain situations. So.
Now, with that, you seem to have developed a reputation, whether that's right or it's wrong, as someone that can be a disruptive influence in a dressing room. So how much can that affect further opportunities down the line, and how do you try and fix that?
Well, if that is the case, I don't think it's going to affect any opportunities down the road with hockey, because I've basically retired. But, I mean, I think it goes back to kind of what I was saying in the previous question is, you know, I've been around the game long enough, and it's not because I don't know what I'm talking about, or doesn't know because I'm a bad player. Obviously, I know a little bit about the game, and you know, there's a lot of players. There's a lot of players in the Elite League that are great players. There's a lot of players in the Elite League that have more knowledge than the coaching staffs. You know, a great coach, you know, looks at his soldiers, you know, or a great general looks at his soldiers, you know, and takes advice from them. I mean, they coaches adapt, you know, to what's going on. And, you know, I think as far as the situation in Edinburgh, I mean, Richard didn't want to listen to any of us. Richard didn't want to take anything we had to say. You know, we said, hey, you know, Richard, can we try this? Can we try that? He wanted to do things his way completely. And that's why he ended up where he is. You know, the captain tried talking to him numerous times. Riley Emerson tried talking to him numerous times. I tried talking to him numerous times. We had meetings with Scott numerous times. It didn't work. And now Riley got the job. So, you know, he didn't want to take any advice from us. Not because we wanted to hurt him. We wanted to help ourselves. You know, and I was at the point in my life and in my career that I don't need to stand there and you know, I don't need to take, I hate to say that, I don't want to take someone's crap. If I have something to say and I feel that this could help us or this could be better or that, I'm going to say it. Because at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about winning games, okay, and winning championships. And we weren't exactly winning games, so something needed to change. So, and, you know, I guess at times it can be controversial, some of the things I might say. And, you know, I'm in the new job I'm at. I come in, I do my job, I keep my opinions to myself, and, you know, I put my head down and I go to work. And, I mean, that's maybe one way that I try and change things in the future is just, you know, I just kind of do my job and worry about me. And but it's different when you're with the team, with hockey players. You know, you have 20 other guys to worry about. And, you know, I do feel bad that I put the team down because they had to play with one import short for a while. I do feel bad about that. You know, the guys had to work harder and, you know, they maybe put them in jeopardy to lose some more games. So I did feel about that. And I felt bad for the fans, too, that they had to see that.
So what lies ahead for Joe Grimaldi in the future then? You said you've got a job at the moment. You've pretty much said you've retired from the game now. So what does the future hold for you?
I currently have been offered a scouting job for a team in the U.S. And I'm on the verge of contemplating about taking it. And, you know, I'm finishing my education. I have about 8 classes left of my degree. I'm taking 3 classes this summer, and I really would like to finish that. That would be nice for me. And, you know, I'm going to do my job, spend some time with my family, my parents, and, you know, just try and live a normal life for a little bit. I gotta play catch up. You know, you fall behind a little bit when you play this game. As you get older, you get to a point when you start to fall behind in the real world. And, you know, in the real world, I have to catch up. And, you know, I want to be involved in hockey. I do have some knowledge of the game. I do know the game of hockey. I'd like to maybe pass some knowledge off, you know, to some younger players. I have been involved with USA Hockey and coaching. And I think that at some point I'm going to get back into the coaching. But for now, I think a nice little break is okay for me. I mean, I miss it. Don't get me wrong. I miss the game. I definitely miss the game. I have my days when I'm at work and I'm like, I don't feel I want to be at work. I want to be on the rink somewhere. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, you have to take every day a day at a time. You know, and that's all I'm doing right now. I'm taking every day a day at a time. And I'm trying to do the best I can and focus in on what's happening in my life and happening in that day. And, you know, if you do the right things, the rest will take care of itself.
Now, presumably you keep an eye on how things are going elsewhere. You know, obviously, and you mentioned it earlier, the fact that Edinburgh Capitals now have Riley Emerson as a player coach. He replaced Richard Hartman. How do you think Riley will do in the job?
Well, I think the big man's going to do, I think he's going to do good. I think he'll do all right. You know, just like any young coach, he's gonna have his good days and his bad days, and he's gonna have to, you know, figure out his way. You know, he's gonna have to learn, you know, what works. But I think bringing in a North American style coach who has a physical presence and likes North American hockey, I think bringing that to Edinburgh and bringing that to the league is a positive all around. And, you know, I think Riley's I think he's a good man for the job. You know, he's a good family man. They have a newborn, you know, son. I think that the players, I think they will probably want to play for him more than they played for Richard. I think that Riley's going to attract a new type of personnel to the rink, a new type of player to the team. I think he's just going to have to do a good job recruiting. You know, I think that's going to be key. And I think you might see Edinburgh up in the standings in the next year or two. But I think that the best advice that I could give Riley or any young coach is that, you know, just make sure you listen to your players. Make sure it's not a one-way street. Make sure that you're open to suggestions. Make sure that you're willing to adapt. And I think if Riley does that, and I think he will, I think he'll have a successful career as a coach. And I wish him the best of luck.
And my final question to you, Joe, when you look back on your two spells here in the UK with Nottingham and with Edinburgh, what would you change about them, if anything?
It's a tough question because I don't usually like to go back in the past to change things. I believe things happen for a reason. But I think it would have been nice to go out on better terms with the fans, you know, with the memory of myself or the way they see me and the light that they portray me in. I think, you know, it would have been nice to just give them something back in a way that they had good memories because they gave me good memories. So, I believe things happen the way that I'm not trying to be religious, but I believe that, you know, God has a plan, or whoever's God is, whatever anybody believes in, whoever that is, you know, whatever they believe in has a plan for them. They have a plan, and it unfolds the right way, and that you're not supposed to question it, and you're just supposed to live your life. So I think that my time there was, I had a good time, and I really enjoyed the UK, and I just want to thank everybody for the memories.
Well, Joe Grimaldi, thanks for joining us on the Slapshot Scotland podcast. Been great to talk to you. And that was Joe Grimaldi there reflecting on his time in the UK. As always, I'm keen to hear your thoughts on what you've heard from this interview, so feel free to get involved on the Slapshot Scotland Facebook page or follow me on Twitter at SlapshotScot. Don't forget, there's also the website www.slapshotscotland.wordpress.com as well. That's all from me. Thank you for downloading and listening, and thanks to Joe Grimaldi for taking the time to talk to me over these two parts. It's been a very fascinating discussion. I'm Craig Anderson. I'll be back with another show very soon. Bye for now.